Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and we are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here. And we pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here this night. We pray that thy presence would be here. We pray, O God, that we would all receive a touch from thy spirit. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. I pray, O God, that we would be inspired this night to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to praise and magnify thy holy name, for we know that thou inhabitest the praises of thy people. We pray, O God, for thy blessing and thy anointing to be on this service here tonight, and we ask that everything we do will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. In Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going to start with number 91 in the chorus book tonight, Without Him, number 91.
Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me life's rugged sea, and make make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to sing a chorus that's conveniently located right on the same page where we're on. We're going to sing number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. Number 94.
Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Now we're going to turn to number 28 and sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. Number 28.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, you know, sometimes interesting things happen. And, you know, today I needed to go to the bank and make some deposits. And our main bank is in Hartford, so that's a little bit of a drive. But we have to go to Chase here in town to deposit the things from other countries. So I went over there today, and the girl working at the counter could not figure out how to do it. I was there for over a half an hour waiting for her to finish this deposit. She couldn't figure it out, and finally her manager came over and finished it for me. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of things in our life that try our patience, and it's a good thing to have patience because we need it so very much. And I tell you what, when you wait upon the Lord, that is when you start to see amazing things happen. And you know, when we pray often, and God does hear our prayers, he answers our prayers, and it's not always an immediate answer. Sometimes we have to wait. But I tell you what, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, it tells us in Isaiah 40. So we're going to turn to number 48 right now and sing that chorus, They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48.
He that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, it's a wonderful thing that we serve a God we can rely on. We can reach out and touch the Lord anywhere we are, and we can certainly do it right now. Let's turn to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord. Number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well,
We are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. And we pray, O God, that Thou would continue to use this ministry. We pray, O God, that Thou would help us to be a witness in a lost and dying and dark world. Help us to always do Thy will and to be obedient to Thy prompting and obedient to Thy call. I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus before we turn it over to Shirley for the night. And you know, there's a chorus we sing so often. It's such a good chorus, and it's very true. Number 128, turn your eyes upon Jesus. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, you will find that everything in His world just fades away into the background, grows strangely dim. Praise God. Let's sing number 128.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in His wonderful face and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise You, Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Such a wonderful thing that we can come together and praise the Lord and worship Him. Glory to God. Well, I see here that the yellow light has come on this lavalier, so I probably should change the battery. That'll just take one moment, and we will turn this over to Shirley. Praise God. These batteries must last a while, because I actually haven't changed this one in quite a while. Praise God. All right. And that should do it. Praise the Lord. All right, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Praise God. We do know that where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, that He's in our very midst. Praise the Lord. And that means He's here. He's here tonight. You know, His presence is here. We could just reach out and touch His garment. There's, you know, there's nothing that can't be done. There's nothing too hard for Him. Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just realize how eager He is to help us, to meet our needs, and oh wow, to give us faith in these last days. You know, I know we fight battles. Oh my. Praise the Lord. And sometimes, oh my, you just don't hardly know how it's ever going to end. But praise the Lord, you go through this wrestling, it seems like. But I thank God, you know, I just love it when things snap and all at once, you know, you can see clearly and the presence of the Lord comes down and you have those reassurances and all at once, it's over, you know. Praise the Lord. The Lord has helped us. And, you know, one of these minutes, it's going to be over. You know, we're going to stand before God. This life is going to be over. This little temporal stay that we have here on this earth, this testing ground. And I'll say, you know, it's short, this life that we live. But what we do with this life is going to matter for all eternity. Oh my, what important moments these are, and how we need the Lord, and how we need His Word, and how we need to be right in His sight, to fear the Lord. Oh yes, and to, you know, take life seriously. Oh, you know, yeah, that's right. We just never know, you know, from one moment to the next. But praise the Lord, that's in God's hands. Amen. And He's for us, you know. If God be for us, who could be against us? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're going to pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for these moments. Another occasion, Lord, to come before You, Lord. Oh, God, another occasion to sing Your praises, Lord, and to draw nigh unto You, Lord. Oh, God, to have that fellowship with You and with one another, Lord. And oh, God, to realize that You are here in our very midst. Oh, God, to meet our needs, God. Oh, God, to help us, Lord, through this life. Oh, God, to give us victory, Lord. Oh, God, to fill us with Your Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we thank You that You are here, Lord. Oh, we thank You for Your promises. Oh, God, they are yea and amen, and we believe You, Jesus. Oh, God, we just pray that You'd be, Lord, in this midst, Lord, and with these people. Oh, Lord, those that are online, Lord, those that are sitting here, those that will listen to this message at some moment down the road. I pray, oh, God, that Your words, oh, Lord, would be in my mouth, Lord, and that You would help me, oh, Lord, with this message. Oh, God, and that You'd, oh, God, help us all to respond to the moving of Your Spirit, oh, Lord, and to the things that You want to do in our lives, Lord, that we be not hindered. Oh God, but that we come up to that higher place in You, Jesus. That we draw nigh to You, Lord. Oh Lord, that we would be overcomers. That You give us that vision that comes from on high, that vision to see. Oh Lord, for without a vision the people perish. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to see and understand. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let the devil have no place here. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, our God. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message a house of prayer and be going to a few places here tonight, but let's go to Psalms 84 here to begin. Psalms 84. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. He knows how to help us. Oh, thank the Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Psalms 84. Praise the Lord. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Oh, praise the Lord. I think this is such a beautiful psalm. Praise the Lord. But you know, it tells us, as the psalmist was uttering his heart's desire here and what was deep inside, that longing in the soul. And you know, I know the Lord made us with that spot that's entirely reserved for God. You know, that spot that people try to fill in so many ways, but yet there's only one way really that it can actually be filled. And that's by the living God, because it's been reserved for him, and he made us. He's the creator, and you know, he put that spot within us so that, yeah, we would long for his courts. We would long for his presence. We would long to be with the Lord. And there's nothing else that can satisfy it. And this psalmist is talking about that longing, how his, you know, his soul is longing, yes, even fainting for the courts of the Lord. And his heart, his flesh is crying out for the living God. And, you know, again, you know, there's that cry from within, you know. And, oh my, we know that there is none other that can fill that spot. And he talks about how the sparrow has found a house. Oh, and even the swallow found a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And, you know, he says, even thine altars, the swallow must have laid her eggs, you know, in one of the altars. And, you know, even the creatures, you know, I had opportunity to talk with Wilda for a while the other night, and, you know, she was talking about how she was out in the woods or someplace, you know, out in nature, and was reading the scripture, and how all the creatures would gather around her, and, you know, it was like they all wanted to hear. And, you know, I know how that is. I mean, I know my bird, you know, there's times, you know, he loves it when I put on, you know, gospel songs, and, you know, he loves it when I sing and play the piano, you know, and he loves it when I pray, you know, and there's something, you know, that God put within his creation that belongs, that is reserved for God. I know my daughter Vicky Beth was telling me that her little bird Lacey, a cockatiel, you know, often, well, she's in the same room where Vicki does the recording and transcribes messages. So she'll play them slowly and type them and so on. And the bird hears that, you know. And one day, might have been a Saturday, and she wasn't doing that, but the bird just started wildly chirping, you know, and just wouldn't stop. And Vicki finally figured out, oh, he wants to hear the recording. He wants to hear the message, you know. He wants to hear Pastor David, you know. And so it was, she put it on, and the bird stopped, you know. But praise the Lord, you know, it's in the creatures, it's within us too. That spot that God has reserved for us. And praise the Lord, you know, it talks about how blessed we are when our strength is in God. When we realize, as we sang tonight, how without Him we could do nothing. I mean, really, what ability that we have is only because of God. You know, He's the one that helps us from day to day and gives us what we have need of and gives us discernment and makes His Word come alive and puts it within our hearts to cry out to Him. Praise the Lord. What a thing, you know, that our strength, if it's in Him, you know, and our heart knows the ways of God, when we go through even a valley is a low place. And I'll tell you what, there are times in our life when we're going through valleys, so to speak. But, you know, the psalmist is talking about one who is passing through the valley of Baca. And that word means to be sparsely watered. But what does, you know, that person, oh, okay, I'm going through this low, I'm in this needy spot, but what do? I dig a well. I cry for the living waters. I cry out to God. I dig deeper into the wells of salvation so that I might have strength and so that that dry thirst might be quenched by the Holy Ghost. And then it says, they go from strength to strength. Oh, and how true this is, you know, that's what reason we come to church, you know, because we need that strengthening, that time in God's Word, that time of worship, that time of praise, you know, when the presence of the Lord comes down, and we need that. God's people go from strength to strength. There's that hunger within us for the living God. And we know it says, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh my, if you're His child, you're going to go before God. There is no other way. You're going to make your need known before the living God. You're going to cry out to Him in humility and in repentance. You're going to draw nigh to God, so that He will draw nigh to you. But every one of them that is, in the Lord, in Zion, appears before God. Oh yes, frequently down there on our knees, crying out to the Lord. Oh yes, as we drive in our car, we do our duties. There's that cry, that's a response to the living God going before our God. But that strength to strength, our goal is to go to higher ground. Oh yes, and we come here, yes, to gain that higher ground. You know, I thank God for those times of my youth. You know, I tell you what, it made such a difference to have this fellowship with the Lord. And those wonderful times that we always, we'd hear the message. And that worked something up in my heart, that made me wanted to do more for the Lord. It made me want to be right with the Lord, and it spoke to my heart. And then I could just hardly wait to, go up to that front part that we call the altar and bow before the Lord and cry out to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for those times, because those were strengthening. It gave me strength for the days that were ahead. It gave me strength for, that school week that was in front of me, or whatever other ordeal that I had to face. It came from God. Tell you what, there's nothing like it, and there's no substitute for it. How do we gain strength if we don't go before God, if we don't meditate upon His Word, if we don't hide it in our heart? How are we going to have strength if we don't come to church? How are we going to get there? And I know sometimes there's not opportunities to go to church because there is not that preaches, oh, what is in the God's Word. But thank God we have these times here tonight to be strengthened in the Word of God. To, oh, yes, put our hearts in the right order. Yes, to meditate upon the things that are right. Get our minds off the mundane things of this world. Oh, yes, it sometimes is such a bother and such a nuisance. And, you know, I love it. You know, you get in God's presence. And it's so true. The things of this world, they grow so dim and they get so insignificant. You know, we can see properly, if the right perspective comes to us, so we can see the things that really matter. When we're in the presence of the Lord, everything begins to make sense. Oh, I thank God for these times. Oh, yes, and I wouldn't miss it. Oh, I'll tell you what, I don't know. I remember the night I just ran to the altar for that first time. But I'll tell you what, it was always, oh, I just want more. I want more. I've got to have strength. Praise the Lord, we can find it. We can find it. It's a pouring out of our soul. You know, it's waiting on the Lord to gain that strength that we need from God. And we could do it. This place, this house should be a house of prayer. A place where we draw nigh to God. Oh yes, we get to that higher ground in Christ Jesus. So praise the Lord, it says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh yes, you're going to have to appear before God one way or the other. But oh my, you better appear before God before this life is over. You're going to stand before Him and have Him say, well done. Oh yes, otherwise there's going to be the other kind of response. But praise the Lord, this wonderful psalm goes on. Oh yes, as the psalmist is asking the Lord to hear his prayer and to give ear, O God of Jacob, acknowledging that God is our shield. And oh Lord, look upon the face of thine anointed. That 10th verse, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, praise the Lord. That 122nd Psalm, the first verse, says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, this is where we gain strength. Yes, this is where we win the battles so often. Oh, yes, we could do it elsewhere. But you know, there's something about this special time and this special place that the Lord has given us. The psalmist knew very well, obviously, that a day in the courts of the Lord were better than any other time. He'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. What would be, you know, considered a lowly position, but yet I'd rather be there. I'd rather be a beggar and be able to come to the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Praise the Lord. God is a sun and a shield, and He gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Oh, praise the Lord. If we turn just a few pages in the Psalms here to Psalms 92, I'd just like to show you another couple verses here. Verse 13, Psalms 92, it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Oh, praise the Lord. I like that too. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, certainly the psalmist knew the need to be in the house of the Lord. And Jesus also mentioned how that the house of the Lord was supposed to be a house of prayer for all people. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go to Mark, the 11th chapter here for a little bit. Mark 11. And this chapter takes place here just after what we consider Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem before he's crucified, and that time when, you know, the folks came out, the city came out to worship Jesus and to honor him and to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest and all of that. Praise the Lord. But, you know, after that entry and that worship, that kind of response, it tells us in verse 15, it says, and they came, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of the people. I'm sorry, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Oh, I'll tell you what, Jesus was indeed coming against their traditions and vain teachings and all of those things. Oh, yes, that method they had of arbitrage, and, you know, they would insist that the people would exchange their money for temple coins and therefore make a living off the people. Very unfair and very unnecessary. God saw what they were doing. He knew what was in their hearts. He saw all their devices. And here they were in his holy place, the place that had been set aside for worship. And there they were selling things. They were selling things. And there were those money changers, the seats of them that sold doves. And I know Brother Samuel was mentioning from John, the second chapter, the first time that Jesus also responded in this way when he was in the temple, and he made a whip, and he drove out the sheep and oxen and poured out the changers' money and upset the tables and everything else. That was at the very beginning of his ministry. But here we are at the very end of his ministry, here on earth anyway. And there he goes into the temple again. They hadn't learned from that first experience, had they? And there they were again. They were still sitting there in the temple, you know, piously trying to sell things so that the people, oh yes, well, would have something to sacrifice. I think so that they could make money off the people. But there they were, and Jesus didn't like what he saw. And he just stopped it, you know. He cast them out. He chased them away. You know, he overthrew their tables and the seats of them where they sat and what they were doing. And I don't know if there were suddenly doves flying all over the place and everything else. But anyway, oh, there needed to be an end to this. And he didn't want any of them. He didn't allow any of them to carry any vessels through the temple. And what he said, oh yes, he said in verse 17, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Oh, these days, what do people do? Oh yes, I know sometimes they have all kinds of ungodly things in the so-called church. Oh yes, they use it, you know, for various fundraising events, you know. They might have, you know, some kind of concert and charge money. They, you know, they might have a magic show. They might have a bazaar. You know, all kinds of things go on in the church. Oh, yes, the so-called churches of today. All these social events, all this bingo playing. Oh, yes, they might even bring in their beer. Oh, nothing to put past them, it seems. But does that please God? We always said there's to be no buying and selling in the kingdom of God. You know, God so freely gave us of his salvation. And who are we to charge for the things that he has given us? How could we do it? But they had been doing it there in the time when Jesus walked this earth. I believe they're still doing it these days. Oh yes, they charge for all kinds of things these days. But just because they do it doesn't mean that it's of God, does it? Oh my, all the things that people think they're getting by with. But there is one that overlooks and sees it all. And I'll tell you what, the scribes and the chief priests didn't like what Jesus did. And oh yes, they were had their apple cart upset, obviously, in one more than one way here. And all they could think of is how we're going to get rid of this one. Oh, this one that's coming in and changing our customs. Oh, yes, treading upon these things that we're teaching. And oh, yes, doing these things that we don't approve of. But they were teaching for commandments the doctrines of men. They had so departed from the living God, his precepts, his laws, his concepts. They didn't even know anymore. But the people were astonished at the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You know, if we go to the place where this scripture was at first recorded, we go to Isaiah 56. Let's go there for a little bit here. Isaiah 56. Praise the Lord. You know, of course, as Jesus was writing this, we know that salvation had not yet come. Jesus had not yet come to this earth, but it was going to. And Isaiah is writing as the Lord is giving him the inspiration and the words. It says in verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, my righteousness to be revealed." Oh, it was all going to come forth, and here the prophet was declaring it as the Lord spoke through him. And then he said, "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, said, or saith, Yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him." Oh, praise the Lord. He was talking about a great ingathering there would be of the people. And you know, it wasn't going to be restricted to those that were just born as Hebrews. Not by any means. And you know, you did have to have sons and daughters in order to be part of spiritual Israel by any means. And you know, he's encouraging those that were strangers that came to join themselves to the Hebrew nation, who saw something, you know, among them, you know, the concepts of God that struck in their heart. And there were some that joined themselves to them so that they might serve God and love him and keep his commandments. And there were those, you know, that became eunuchs because, you know, they wanted to solely give themselves over to the Lord. And so they didn't have sons and daughters. But the Lord is saying, there's something beyond this. There's something greater than this. You know, there's a name that I'm going to put, oh, in the forehead of my people, an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You know, we know that Jesus, when he came to this earth and brought us such a wonderful salvation, he made a way that we could become his sons and daughters, so that we could all be joint heirs with Christ, so that we could all be participants in his kingdom. And praise the Lord, yes, we don't have to keep the Sabbath exactly the way they had to keep it in the time of the Old Covenant. For we know that if we've entered into his rest, that we have ceased from our old works, our old nature, our sins, as God did from him, from his. And you know that Sabbath has become an everyday occurrence in the life of God's people, where we fear God and keep his commandments in our heart. You know, listening to his voice and heeding his word and loathe the things that he loathes. And strive diligently not to sin and not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Every day becomes a Sabbath to God's people under the new covenant. And that's a wonderful thing. We enter into his rest, as it tells us in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. But praise the Lord, there was a time when God called his people together unto his holy mountain. And praise the Lord, there was a day when he poured out of his spirit upon all flesh, just as it had been prophesied in the book of Joel, that he was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters were going to prophesy. Your old men were going to dream dreams, and your young men were going to see visions. Now my handmaidens and my servants, I will pour out of my spirit. Oh yes, as it says in that second chapter of the book of Joel. And praise the Lord, I believe on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, that was a feast day of the Jewish nation. And there they were gathered together. And I believe God sent those people, oh, that came forth, because, oh yes, there were a great many of them, Jewish proselytes and Jewish people that came out of every nation, it tells us, every nation under heaven in the second chapter of Acts. Oh yes, and when that Holy Ghost was poured out, and oh yes, they began to hear the noise as the Spirit of the Lord began to speak through those that were gathered in that upper room, and they began to speak forth in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Oh yes, it became noise abroad, and that multitude that had gathered there, those that God had called forth to that day, oh, they all amazed. They were confounded because they heard every man speak in his own language, which was an amazing thing. And they marveled because those that had received the Holy Ghost were Galileans. But here they were, representatives from all these different nations. Oh, it tells us Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, beyond Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh, praise the Lord! The Lord had called them forth to that place where he was going to pour out of his spirit. Oh, yes, and oh, they were going to find acceptance upon his altar. Oh, yes, and truly at that point, it would be called a house of prayer for all people. I love how it says in that 8th verse in Isaiah 56 that he was even going to gather the outcasts of Israel. He was going to gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. It was going to be beyond those that were just Jewish people. I thank God for that. Jesus spoke of that in the 10th chapter of the book of John. Praise the Lord. He said that he was a good shepherd in that 10th chapter. Verse 14, and I know my sheep and am known of mine, he said. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, the Lord was going to bring us all together, both Jews and Gentiles. He's going to bring us forth together as one fold, having one shepherd. Praise the Lord, that was the Lord. He was going to gather the outcasts of Israel. He was going to gather the others to himself, so that there would be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, I marvel at the wonderful ways of God. He had it all figured out. Oh, yes, the Gentile people were going to be heirs as well as the Jewish people in the new covenant kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, the goodness of the Lord that would call forth the people unto himself and, oh, make us all accepted upon his holy altar. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, Jesus Christ gave himself an offering for sin. We no longer offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. But you know what? Our whole body is to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, as it tells us in Romans the 12th chapter, which is our reasonable service. We are told not to be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, we can't do it if we're just as we always were when we were born in this world, if we're just a natural man, if we're just carnal in ourselves. No, it takes the Holy Ghost, the power of God, to transform us, to change us so that we can be what we ought to be in the Lord Jesus, to make us his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, those are the kind of sacrifices that we offer to our God now. Oh, yes, the things that we do in the service of our God. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it says in verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, yes, people revere that city of Jerusalem like it was something special. But, you know, there was a time, yes. But now we are looking for a city, a new Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven. And it tells us here in verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And those are the sacrifices that we give to God. Oh, yes. As we come unto him, as we come unto his throne of grace. Oh, it's such a privilege, you know. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to find salvation. We don't have to come to an earthly city to find the Lord. No. Oh, yes, we draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to us. Oh, yes, and as we turn our hearts over to him, oh, yes, he begins to mold us. He begins to shape us. He makes us his sons and daughters. And praise the Lord, you know. He tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, since I'm right here, right now, I'll look at that. It says in verse 22, in Hebrews 12, 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Oh, praise the Lord, we are in that new covenant. Praise the Lord, and oh yes, we know that we can come directly to that throne of grace. Oh, to find mercy, to find pardon for our sins. Oh yes, we can cry out as individuals. We don't have to go to a priest to find some kind of atonement for our sin. We don't have to give a sacrifice of a bull or a goat, a sheep, to, you know, make atonement for our sin. But praise the Lord, God made a way that we could go directly to Him, directly to the throne of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was that Lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh yes, who made atonement for us so that we could come before Him and present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. But praise the Lord, that need for a place of prayer is still very essential in our lives. Oh, it's true, we can pray everywhere and anywhere, at any time, in any place. But how wonderful it is when we could gather together. You know, in the time of David, he mentions how there were three times that he offered up prayer to God. And it seems that it was like in the third hour, typically at the time of the morning sacrifice, and at the time of the sixth hour when it was midday, and also at the time of the ninth hour when it was the time of the evening sacrifice, he would offer prayer to the Lord. And so they were keeping that going there as long as they could after Pentecost. And in the third chapter of Acts, we find that it was the hour of prayer when Peter and John were going into the temple. It was called an hour of prayer. And I imagine they did it every day. You know, after Pentecost, they continue that. I would think they probably had done that ever, you know, when Jesus, you know, he ascended into the heavens. I believe, you know, there were these times of gathering. And how the Lord honored that, you know. You see that wonderful miracle that was carried out as they entered into the temple at the hour of prayer. That layman that was there at the gate, that entrance gate there that was called Beautiful, and he must have been there every day to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And there came Peter and John, and I know they had entered that gate before, but something was different about this moment. He was asking for alms. But Peter fastened his eyes upon this man with John, and they said, "Look on us." Of course, he was expecting something, expecting to receive something. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something in them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Praise the Lord, he took that man by the right hand, he lifted him up, and God worked. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, how the Lord changes things. But we also see in the second chapter of Acts, after the wonderful conversions that happened on the day of Pentecost. It tells us in the second chapter of Acts that after Peter preached that message and answered their cry, "Ben and brother, what shall we do?" And he answered by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, he told them that. In other words, he gave them also exhortation in telling them to save themselves from this untoward generation. I thank God there was a response that day. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Oh, what a revival. Praise the Lord. Yes, they heard the word of God. And as I already read there on the day of Pentecost, there had been people from all parts of the world that were gathered there together to receive this message and to experience the wonders of salvation. Oh, the difference that it made, because yes, that time had come to pass when, oh yes, salvation would draw nigh and become available to those that would seek the living God, that would hunger and thirst for God, oh yes, to quench that thirsting of the soul. And it says, yes, there were about 3,000 of them that were converted that day, that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And I dare say that maybe all of them, perhaps most of them, I'm not sure, also received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I have a feeling that it happened. But what did they do after this, these 3,000 and 120 and all the others, all those that were converted? It says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Verse 46 says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Oh, that zeal, that continue gathering together in the temple and breaking bread together. And I'm sure they were, you know, praising the Lord and worshiping Him and, you know, doing the works of God. And there was this fear that fell upon them, because it says wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Oh yes, it was telltale. The Spirit of God was upon them. Oh yes, God was shining forth upon them. And oh, He was using them. His zeal was in their hearts. And so they went forth, oh yes, speaking the words of God. And it continued there as long as it was possible. Fifth chapter of Acts, we see it too. Oh yes, they were speaking in the temple. And that the Lord was working mightily. Oh yes, there were signs and wonders that were falling in that fifth chapter of Acts too. Many wonderful signs and wonders wrought among the people. Oh yes, the fear of God came upon them, because God had judged Ananias and Sapphira, who lied before the Holy Ghost. But we see, yes, how God was working. And it tells us, as that fifth chapter of Acts ends, that they were daily in the temple and in every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. See, it was so in their heart. They could see nothing else to do. That zeal of the Lord of hosts was so upon them that, you know, everywhere they went, you know, they were teaching and preaching the words of life. They were sharing it. They were praying for the sick, obviously. Oh, yes, it talks about even the shadow of Peter, if it would pass by people, that they would be healed, that they would bring out their sick on the beds and on the couches, that they might just, you know, have the shadow of Peter passing by. Oh, they were so filled with the Holy Ghost that the Spirit of God was working mightily in them. You see, they were dedicated. Oh, they had that zeal. They were daily in the temple. They were strengthening their inner man continually in the Holy Ghost, and crying out for God to give them strength, to give them power, to renew it. All those strength that we need. We can't do it alone. Oh yes, we can't do it of our own self. We know that without God we could do nothing. They had that kind of strength and courage. And we know that in the 8th chapter of Acts, that persecution began to disperse them so that they didn't have, you know, a temple always to go to. You know, it began to disperse them. They were scattered abroad, it tells us in the first verse of chapter 8, as persecution began. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles, who obviously remained in Jerusalem for the most part. And oh my, God was allowing this so that the gospel would be carried to other parts of the earth, that they would be witnesses. Oh yes, not only in Jerusalem, but in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, as he had declared in the 8th verse of chapter 1 of Acts, being witnesses. And oh yes, the people were giving heed. The Lord was working in them mightily. But I'll tell you what, I'm sure those times of gathering together were continued, even though they didn't have a temple that they could go to necessarily, unless they were still in Jerusalem. But for the most part, they're scattered. And yes, the gospel is growing in other areas, in other regions. But yet, oh yes, they're going forth and teaching. And then it tells us in the 12th chapter of Acts. Oh, here it was, you know. Herod the king had taken James, the brother of John, and killed him with a sword. Then he took Peter also, and he was going to, you know, put away him too. I'm sure he's going to, you know, planning to kill him. But there was something that was happening in the church of the living God. Oh, yes. Let's just read some of this. It says in Acts, the 12th chapter, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And I like verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, there were a people, yes, oh, that had it in their heart to offer prayer continually. They knew the power of prayer. They'd already seen what the power of prayer does. Oh, yes, the strengthening of the Lord. And there they were gathered. Oh, yes, in the places that were accessible to them. Gathered together and praying, it says, without ceasing on the behalf of Peter. And how God used those prayers tells us in verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. and his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, praise the Lord. There's Peter. I guess he wasn't too worried. He was sleepy, but the angel of the Lord came. Oh, yes, this bright light shined in the prison, and all at once, oh, yes, Peter was awakened, and the angel smote him on his side and raised him up, told him to rise up quickly. Oh, what's those chains that were binding his hands were loosed. And the angel said unto him in verse 8, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Oh, I love these miracles. The Lord just working out every detail instantaneously, miraculously. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, all at once, Peter's realizing, hey, you know, he's thinking, you know, he's seeing a vision, you know, this is mighty wonderful. I'm sure, you know, here I am, I'm being released out of prison and all this and that, but all at once it dawned on him, this was not a vision, this was reality. The angel of the Lord had come and they smote him upon his side. And oh yes, those chains had fallen off his hands. He'd walked through the different wards of the prison. The gate had opened up unto them, and here he was out in the street. And it says in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He knew he had been delivered. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And here, you know, they've been praying continually, you know, without stopping, you know, continuously that Peter would be released. And here he is. And they can't believe it. Oh, this human nature that we all have. Rhoda's saying, he's there. No, she forgot to open up the gate. But anyway, they said unto her, in verse 15, thou art mad? But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our God. That's faith in action. Oh, because there were a people, oh, that knew how to travail in prayer. They knew how to touch the hem of God. Oh yes, they knew how to make contact with God. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. They had gathered together. Oh yes, to make intercession. One for their beloved brother, Brother Peter. And praise the Lord. God heard their cries. God intervened in a most miraculous way. Oh, such a miraculous way that they could hardly believe it. But it was true. God had sent his angel and delivered him out of the hands of Herod. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. And praise the Lord. We might not always have a place to assemble in this time period that we live in. But we know that where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, Jesus has promised that he would be in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. He is with his people. And as Paul said when he was in Athens on Mars Hill. Oh, and he saw those Athenians, and he was, oh boy, concerned with their superstitions. Tells us in the 17th chapter of Acts, oh yes, as there he was, and beholding it, it tells us as he was passing through in the midst of Mars Hill, verse 22, he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," oh yes, they were praying, but they were not praying. They didn't know God. They were, you know, they had an altar though. It says, "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Oh, what a moment. You know, they had walked in darkness, and here was an opportunity to see the light. Praise the Lord. And so Paul is explaining here in this 17th chapter of Acts, verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Oh, praise the Lord. It's all in order. God has it all in his control. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. You know, he dwells in the hearts of his people. And what a difference since this new covenant has come to pass. We can walk in this dispensation of grace. Oh, we can know that we are the temple of the living God, that he has come to dwell in our very beings. He has come to dwell in us that he might be our God, and that we might be his sons and daughters, that he might be a father unto us, and we might be his children. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. We have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we become the dwelling place. We become his house. We go to Ephesians for a little bit here. Ephesians, the second chapter. Some beautiful scripture here. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And it's such a beautiful portion of scripture here. It tells us in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And I'll tell you what, that's just the bottom line. That's how it is. If we don't know God is our Lord and Savior, if we haven't come to Him and allowed Him to work in our lives, then we're estranged from God. We're aliens. We're strangers from the covenants of promise. We don't have hope. We're without God in this world. But God made it possible that we could come to that throne of grace. We could come directly to the living God. Yes, amen. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, we were doubly alienated being Gentiles, if we are Gentiles. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Yes, he was going to reconcile us so that both Jew and Gentile could come to him. We could all have one Savior. And there would be one fold and one shepherd, as it says in that 10th chapter of John. So he broke down that middle wall of partition that divided us, that made us alienated from God. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity or separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, thereby the thing that separated us from God. He broke it at Calvary. He abolished it. All the things that separated us, those commandments and ordinances, those things, oh yes, that man could not really even live up to, they were abolished at the cross. And praise the Lord. It says in verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. And yes, we were afar off. And to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Yes, he has made, oh yes, his people, a temple, a habitation for the Lord. And it says in verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, it's the dwelling place. It's a habitation. It's the temple of God that comes to be within our very being. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could all be joint heirs with Christ. But praise the Lord, he puts it within us. Oh, that wonderful ability to go before that throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, as it tells us in that fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 12. Praise the Lord, God has made a way that we could access his throne, and oh, how we could come before him. Yes, how that temple of Jerusalem at that point had once been that house of prayer. But now it's in our inner being. We become the temple, and we, as his children, can make intercession. We become that place of habitation for the Spirit of God to work through us. Oh yes, to use us. Those signs and wonders that follow the early church can also follow us. Oh yes, if we could just get to that place in God where we can believe him, where we can have that strong faith that doesn't waver. Oh yes, that we can go forth and do the works that he has declared that his people would do. Oh, knowing that he will go with us. Oh, yes, that he will lead us, that he will guide us. He's a shepherd. He knows the sheep, and yes, he leads his sheep. Oh, yes, he gives us all the tools that we need, the abilities that we need, the plans that we need. If we could just follow him and lean on him, be led by the Holy Ghost, which he put within us, all that wonderful habitation of God, the Spirit of God dwelling us. But praise the Lord, it's also precious when we have these times to gather together. For there is strength. We go from strength to strength. We always want to gain that higher ground in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, we are told in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we are told that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Oh yes, this is where we gain the strength that we need. Oh, I'm all for seeing people come to this place of prayer. I'm all for seeing people to linger after that sermon. I know what, oh yes, it means to me. Yes, I hear the Word of God. And it pricks my heart. And it causes me to want to strive for greater things in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, I know I'm not going to gain that kind of strength on a whim just by, you know, wishing it so. But there's got to be some effort. Oh, there's got to be those sacrifices of praise that come forth from our inner being. Oh, God, there's got to be those hours on our knees when we travail and we cry out to God. All those times that we become that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, not through conformity, but through the transforming power of God. Do we become that vessel of honor, that vessel of praise, that vessel that he can use for his name's sake? I'll tell you what, if we'll start crying out, if we'll start praying, if we'll get back to those good old prayer meetings where, oh, we don't, you know, watch the clock, but gather together, oh, just to meet God. Oh, yes, so that we can see him work in a mighty way. Oh, yes, he can do those things that we need so desperately to see in this day and hour, those signs, those wonders, the salvation of souls. There's nothing too hard for our God. Those signs follow the early church. But it's going to take that house of prayer. It's going to take that time on our knees, crying before God, seeking his face. You know, we shouldn't, you know, just, you know, be here for a moment, you know, and you know, hear the word of God, and then, you know, maybe pray for 2 minutes and then get up and go, or get up and start talking. I'll tell you what, we need to draw nigh to God. You know, there's some things that need to take priority in our lives so that we can be changed, so we can be transformed, so we can find that place in God. There's some things that need to be forgotten, things of the world that are so temporary and don't mean a thing. But it's, you know, are we right with God? Have we given our hearts to the Lord? Are we fervently seeking his face? How do we stand before God? And it tells us, yes, again in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, he's coming. The signs are all over the place. We've been talking about it for a long time. In one of these minutes, one of these moments, he's going to come and not tarry. But oh, how we want to be occupying until he comes. We want to see the responses that are needed in this world that is so given over to sin and the darkness of the enemy. But praise the Lord, there is a place that we can find in God. Oh, in that house of prayer. Oh, yes, we can feel and know that God has changed us. He's transformed us, and oh yes, it can show on our faces. Praise the Lord, it can give us that boldness. That early church, when they were threatened, what did they do? They got down on their knees, they prayed. They prayed for boldness. and that signs and wonders would increase. And praise the Lord heard it. No, they didn't go hide. They didn't retreat. Oh my, they didn't stop witnessing. But they did it all the more. And God gave them the power and the enablement. Oh yes. And it happened, those signs and wonders. Oh, praise the Lord, because they found that house of prayer. And thank the Lord, we can find it here tonight. We can find the Lord. Oh, yes, we can draw nigh to God and know that He will draw nigh unto us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Pray that you talk to our hearts and help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you, Lord. And, oh, God, to put you first. Oh, God, and to find that place of prayer in our lives. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, we're poor and needy, and we need you, Jesus. We need revival, Lord. We need, oh, God, to be made alive in you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, we seek you, Jesus, and need you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're going to open our chorus books and sing a chorus that comes to mind. I believe it's number 26, In His Presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship! In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His, and He is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship!
shine in the presence of the Lord. There's fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.